Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Well, it has to be one of the most gripping and dramatic scenes in all of Scripture. The place, Mount Carmel. On one side, 450 prophets of Baal trying to prove that Baal is God. The other side, the prophet Elijah, insisting Yahweh is supreme. The contest, both sides arrange a sacrifice on an altar and call upon their God to send down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. Prophets of Baal go first. They start in the morning. They go all day long through the afternoon into the evening. Nothing from heaven. Elijah calls out to Yahweh one time. Fire comes down, consumes the gift on the altar, consumes the rocks, the water, everything around the altar, burned to a crisp. Gone. A.W. Tozer contrasts modern evangelicalism with Elijah on that day. And I love this quotation. Here's what he says. Current evangelicalism has laid the altar and divided the sacrifice into parts, but now seems satisfied to count the stones and rearrange the pieces with never a care that there's not a sign of fire upon the top of lofty Carmel. But God be thanked that there are a few who care. They are those who, while they love the altar and delight in the sacrifice, they are yet unable to reconcile themselves to the continued absence of fire. They desire God above all. They are athirst to taste for themselves the piercing sweetness of the love of Christ about whom all the holy prophets did write and the psalmist did sing. What Tozer's saying there is that the fire, in his analogy, represents the presence of God, and the altar represents the forms of religion. And the moment we get to the point where we're content to busy ourselves with the forms of religion, and we become so enamored with the programs and processes, and we become oblivious to whether or not God is even at work in those programs and processes, that is a sad and tragic day. There is a place for the forms. Don't make any mistake about that. We'll explore that in the weeks to come, but for this morning, I'd like to just fix our attention . What does Jesus teach about how to deal with the problem of empty, fireless religion? The altar with no fire. We're in the midst of a verse-by-verse study of the Sermon on the Mount. If you're new with us this morning, we're going through that great sermon. And it's a sermon about righteousness. The king has arrived. He has inaugurated his kingdom. And now he's describing what righteousness looks like in this kingdom. In chapter 5, we saw for the past several months that it was all about righteousness in relationships. He talked about anger and unfaithfulness and dishonesty and retaliation, all the various areas where we struggle with unrighteousness in personal relationships. Today, as we arrive in chapter 6, we start a whole new section of the sermon. This part is about righteousness in religion or religious practice or worship. Chapter 5 showed us what righteousness looks like in interactions with people. This section shows us what righteousness looks like in our direct interactions with God. That's one difference. Another difference between the two sections is that chapter 5 focuses mainly on the thou shalt nots, and chapter 6 is on the thou shalts. Chapter 5 is the negatives, the don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't divorce, don't break your oaths, don't take revenge, all the bad things that we're supposed to avoid. Chapter 6 focuses on the good things that we're supposed to do, like pray and give and fast and all that. And we need instruction on that, because if we do good things the wrong way, they become evil things. They become an altar with no fire, which is an exceedingly evil thing. In fact, Jesus' word for it here is hypocrisy. Look at verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. Verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Verse 16, when you fast, don't look somber like the hypocrites do. It's all about avoiding hypocrisy. The word hypocrite just comes right from the Greek. That's the Greek word, is hypocrite. It means actor or pretender. Just the normal word. When they had a play, the typical word they would use to refer to the cast in the play is hypocrites. Hypocrites. That's the word. It's simply the Greek word for actor or actress. So Jesus is saying, when you carry out your acts of righteousness, don't be like the actors on a stage. Don't be like the religious pretenders. I heard about a holy man who used to sit on the street corner every day, covered with dust and ashes to show his humility. And one day a tourist came by and asked if he could take his picture, and the man responded, "Just a second, let me rearrange my ashes." There's a whole lot of rearranging of ashes that goes on in the church. Our humility for public consumption, our piousness is for the cameras, and we just become walking PR firms that are out to just impress everybody with our image. That's why hypocrites behave differently in church than out in the world. At church, they're real spiritual. At school, they're real cool. At work, they're real professional. Their prayers in the small groups are amazing. They deserve Academy Award. They can really play the part. So while chapter 5 talks about inadequate righteousness, this section is talking about imitation righteousness. Inadequate righteousness doesn't go far enough. Imitation righteousness doesn't go deep enough. Inadequate righteousness is, you know, it avoids murder but not hatred. It avoids adultery but not lust. Doesn't go far enough. Imitation righteousness doesn't go deep enough. It looks spiritual enough from the human perspective, but it's all external. It's not internal. And in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the solution for that. He gives us a solution for imitation righteousness, the solution for hypocrisy. And the solution he gives might come as a shock. I mean, this is a surprise. The solution to the problem of hypocrisy is reward, living for reward. Does that surprise you? Look at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Why? Because if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. The reason we should avoid hypocrisy is because it won't be rewarded by God. This chapter is all about reward, living for reward. And you don't have to be an expert exegete to really pick up on that. All you have to do is get a highlighter marker and mark every time in this chapter you see the word reward. And it becomes very obvious real fast. Verse 43, what reward will you get? Verse 43 of chapter 5, verse 1 of chapter 6, you'll have no reward. Verse 2, they have the reward in full. Verse 4, God will reward you. Verse 5, they've received their reward in full. 6, he will reward you. 16, reward in full. 18, reward you. Then in verse 19, he talks about treasure on earth, treasure in heaven. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. Verse 24, you can't serve God and money. It's all about treasures and rewards and where they are. Now, why this emphasis on reward, and how does that solve the problem of hypocrisy? One of the greatest and most important expressions of true faith is living for reward. I think the reason why there's such an emphasis on reward here and the way that it solves the problem of hypocrisy is because the Christian life is a life of faith, right? The life of faith. And one of the greatest and most important expressions of faith is living for reward. Because if God promises a reward and that has no impact on you, that shows that you don't believe the promise, right? And if it motivates you, then that proves that you do believe the promise. It's a matter of belief. It's a matter of faith.
Think of how you act at church and Christian gatherings. Is there a significant difference between that version of you and the one at work or school or at home? We all love to hate the Pharisees because their hypocrisy was so extreme. But we all have that same disease to one degree or another. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your life and reveal any pockets of play acting in your Christian life.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.